What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
All right, what's up, Houdat Nation? Thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and while I'm not drunk, I am actually drinking. I got some squirts in here. This is a new flavor. It's like a strawberry. I gotta call this something else. It's a Crystal Light strawberry something with some amaretto actually tonight instead of vodka.
Taking it back to high school, eh?
Recreate that Boone's Farm. All right, so the Saints have now swept the Bucks and the Falcons. One more win over the Panthers and will be the first team to ever sweep the entire NFC South. They're the first team to clinch playoffs this season. They're undefeated without Drew Brees. The defense is the best in the NFL. And yet some Saints fans are still angry about anything and everything, including jet sweeps. We're going to set you all straight in this week's celebratory episode of the Dome Patrol United podcast, because we are celebrating the playoff-bound 10-2 NFC-leading New Orleans Saints. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'll go with a 3. Had a couple cocktails earlier. Now I'm drinking a second line Batcher Blonde ale. All right. And yeah, feeling pretty good. I figure it's time to celebrate. You know, we had the instant reaction last night. We seemed to be kind of down a little bit, even though we won and we clinched the playoff berth. We swept the Falcons.
Somebody pissed in Cheerios. Way the game ended?
Because I was hungover as shit, and it was nice and non-stressful for the first three quarters, and then it got very stressful at the end. So my stomach, you know, the bubble guts, it was a little agitated, but I wasn't as angry as Scott. But maybe his anger just seeped into everybody else. But I mean, yeah. So we swept the Falcons, and we won we're about to win the division, and we clinched the playoff spot. I'm happy.
He's the emperor. Speaking of the emperor, Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm a 1. Drinking some Michelob Ultra as usual. I am so happy to be here in this celebration of the Saints.
Sarcasm.
Not at all.
We're gonna fix him.
Clinching the playoffs. Sweeping the Falcons. I'm excited. I'm pumped.
That's good. Positivity is just as
there will be infectious no negativity.
And contagious. Yes.
No negativity for me on the show today.
A wink is
as good as a nod to a blind bat.
If Scott ever gets negative, we drink.
Oh God.
You're in trouble.
All right, and also from Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, we have special guest.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
We've been on his show. Now he's coming on the Dome Patrol United podcast. It's not his first time as a guest, but he is here as the first time since starting Taking the Over. Welcome to the show, Billy Gunn.
Hey, man, what's going on? I am I'm a 0. I'm living that alcohol-free lifestyle. Might have some decimal points in there. I don't know how y'all calculate all that. But, the Saints are 10-2. I had a fantastic weekend. I don't know if you saw me doing some fist pumps earlier in the background. I'm watching an MLS soccer game right now, and I need the Minnesota team. I believe they're called Minnesota United FC, the Fighting
Loons. He doesn't even know.
I don't know. I actually posted the wrong name of the wrong team to Twitter earlier when I was trying to give out a tip. I don't know that on Minnesota. And Minnesota scored during the intro, so I'm happy.
All right.
And I'm so excited about this. I think this is – I was watching 5 games at once on Sunday, 5 NFL games at the same time, and my takeaway from the earlier games is the New Orleans Saints are the best football team that I saw all day. You know, we're very fortunate to have the Saints doing well. Got a little hairy there at the end. It always does. But Saints covered, Saints won. Everybody's good.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's like I said, every week, y'all listen to the 2-point instant reaction, 2-point conversion show. For those of you who listen to it, this one's going to be a little more positive. We're going to continue the conversation now that we've had a good night's sleep and a full day to digest everything. Let's talk about it in the game recap. Falcons lose to the Saints 21-16. As Gunn just said, it was a game where the Saints took their foot off the gas pedal, perhaps, or the Falcons made some adjustments. Keep in mind, this was one of those games where Andrews Peat turned back into his old turnstile self, which also contributed to some of the problems. But overall, that we held the Falcons off, and in the end, it ended up being a good thing. They did not have a 100-yard rusher, right? Todd Gurley continued to sabotage the Falcons once again.
such a big play at the end of the game. Yeah. I mean, that was massive.
Yeah, I think that's what Todd Gurley does. I think that's why. I think he was sent there by someone to sabotage them.
Remember when the Falcons signed Steven Jackson and people were like, "Oh, this is the missing piece."
Yeah.
He's the new Steven Jackson.
That's true. They always go after these like running backs who,
right? The old running backs
and then
old ones. They're the ones past their prime.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, Gurley's not that old, but he's definitely past his prime.
He's got like four. Yeah, he's had four knee replacements.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams wore his ass out.
Yep. Kamara, 88 yards. How about that? On the ground,
it's Kamara. It's Kamara.
Right?
He's awesome.
Right?
Leading rusher. By far among running backs.
Well, because Murray was not present and only got, what, like five carries? Yeah.
Murray, the Falcons, I don't know what they did, but they had an answer for Murray.
Outside of the long Kamara, 40-yard run that he had, there weren't a lot of holes running. I mean, Kamara had a few decent runs, but it looks like the game plan was for us to throw the ball. I mean, Taysom attempted,
37, 232.
Right? It was a far different game plan than the game 2 weeks ago.
Well, so the Falcons pretty much come into it. They stack the box and say, we're going to make Taysom throw to beat us, thinking that he wasn't going to be an effective passer.
That's seems possible. That yeah, I mean, you know, kind of, it seemed like the first game that Taysom started, almost Peyton was trying to make a point that he's a quarterback, so they didn't want him to run. He looked kind of uncomfortable on a couple of plays just because, you know, those first 20 or so plays are scripted. You know, Peyton didn't really let loose until the third or fourth quarter in the first game against Atlanta. Second game against Denver, you can kind of scrap just because we've talked about it. They had to kind of change the game plan. But this game, I think we kind of saw the full Taysom. The both
comprehensive
and the throwing, right? He seemed very much, at least in the first half. I think Sean maybe stymied him a little bit more in the second half because he, like we said, he took his foot off the gas. But in the first half, man, he looked just in complete control of the offense. He was getting in and out of the huddles quick. He was calling the plays, making the reads, making the throws. Hey, he looked really good. He looked very much like Drew Brees.
It's almost
hold on.
Well, now I get what Scott's saying, and I do agree that he was
Scott's
throwing
a little overboard with the positivity now. Now he's comparing Taysom to Drew Brees. Come on, Simma.
As far as control like of the Breezes. Offense, right? As far as control of the offense, it was on schedule. They were moving the ball up and down.
He's
the
throwing
field.
With
they
authority,
were, right?
Until they decided to do some of those halfback screens and.
Yeah, but I get what Scott's saying. But now the question I have, though, is, you know, they do script the first 20 plays or so. It was those plays that he did well. So could it be that because he had enough practice and that he was going to perform better with those 20 plays because those were the 20 plays he was ready for. And then once it became whatever else, then, you know, the more of the impromptu stuff, it's a little harder to to stay in the rhythm like that, right? Also, real quick, I want to point out, Christian Mino's watching. He says, who that from Augusta, Georgia? It's so nice being surrounded by grieving Falcons fans. Chris Farmer, sup, fellas? Jason, you replied. And, Chris Farmer talking about Taysom says he was confident, which definitely answered, you know, last week I was concerned from the Denver game. And I did say at the y'all talked me off the ledge there, and you did. I did say, you know, how he plays in this game will tell us whether or not Denver was real or Denver was in fact what Sean Payton said it was, which was game plan. And You know what? I don't have any more concerns about Taysom right now. I'm confident that.
Well, he's got some fumbling concerns.
Well, yeah. Yes, okay, so I do have one concern.
You got one concern.
We're being positive, Jason. Drink.
Look, I said it with a smile. I mean, I'm laughing, I'm joking, I'm happy.
He drops the ball.
Now, right?
Fortunately, last week and this week, the drops never hurt the team.
Right. And Peyton even said, you know, that's something that they're going to work on him with and clean up. I really think as he gets, hopefully as he gets more time and they work on it, he will hold on to the ball. Because, I mean, it's 8 fumbles this season so far. That's a lot. I mean, that is a lot of fumbles.
What the hell? You think it's because he's, like I still say, it's because he's holding that new baby all gingerly and he's treating the football
say,
like his baby.
They say he has
baby.
Small hands. He has small hands.
He ran for more yards in the game last week than Drew typically does in a year. just Sunday.
This is true.
He didn't actually. Did he have any rushing touch? Just 2 last the week before.
Yeah,
he
and did not
week,
have any
and the week before. 2 the week before. Yeah. So 4 rushing touchdowns, but, you know. I mean,
he threw his first touchdown pass as a Saint this week.
Yep.
Which was good. 2 touchdowns.
Yep. Traquan and Jared Cook, who, you actually know, Mr. Yeah, Jared did, you know, he had a couple of those half-assed attempts, but he made up for it with a touchdown pass and another good catch. Or 2 other good catches. Not as much Troutman as I thought we might see.
I thought we were going to get a heavy dose of Troutman based on that that first pass to him so early in the game.
And when Cook had the drop, you're like, okay, bring in the Mr. Fish.
Right. I was really looking forward to playing the real big fish this week.
Oh, we'll still play it. Okay. I mean,
everybody's doing the fish. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Better. Everybody's doing the fish. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody's doing the fish. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody's doing the fish. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we just mentioned him.
Right.
We're going to mention him every week just so we can play some real big fish.
Of course, of course. He's going to get a few catches every week.
Troutman stood on the sidelines and played a song.
So Jeff, is 3 games enough of a sample size for you to...
Not yet. And like Chris Farmer's comment, they said on Channel 6 over where he is that Taysom answered the question on him being the heir to Breeze. Chris Farmer says he wouldn't go that far. He took 3 bad sacks, doesn't go through his reads, stares down receivers still. I don't think 3 games is still enough to say that he's Breezes or the heir apparent. But he, as far, I have full confidence that we're going to beat Philadelphia next week. I don't know that Taysom could beat Kansas City, though.
Right. Like you don't have the faith in him to be a playoff quarterback at this point.
Not yet.
I think what he does specifically matches up very well with Kansas City because, as we saw last night, Kansas City's susceptible to a team that dominates the clock.
That is a fair point.
We bust out that ball control Taysom versus – you're going to get at least 1 more game to see what – you know, he's going to get 1 more game of a tryout. Drew's not going to play with Philly this week.
That's
and we'll
point.
See. We'll see. We'll see after that. So you got at least another game to as part of the tryout, and then you know we'll see after that. But I think he's ideal for the Kansas City game.
Okay.
And we're all like, I know we're all assuming like, oh, Breeze, you know, because obviously Breeze is a freak and he wants to be back, so he's going to try to be back sooner. So Breeze's like, oh well, he'll probably be ready, but we'll rest him against Philly. But man. He may say he's ready, but I mean, for to heal that, to even for him to be ready for Kansas City, I still think that's, even though I kind of expect him to come back to play just because that's who he is, I don't think Like, there's a real question of whether he's even going to be healthy enough to come back for Kansas City.
I mean, I'd be pretty upset if he forced himself in to play unhealthy and it actually hurt the team. And then that would anger me because he let his ego hurt the team. He wasn't acting in the best interest of the team.
Or play and not be ready and get hurt again.
Right. I mean, all of that.
Or worse, and be out for a longer period of time. I mean, that would be the worst case scenario.
And I don't think he'd ruin the season. I mean, you know.
No, but look, what makes Breeze great is shit like that, where, like, he hates not playing.
That's true.
He hates it. Hates it.
I get it. Hey, I mean, Davis Douglas is watching, says hey.
He let don't forget, he let that 2-minute drive before half with those cracked ribs.
Okay, right, that's fine, but look, to come back and hit Kansas City, fine, but I realize, like, if we want to win the Super Bowl, as fun as it is to watch Taysom, I'd still feel a lot better with Breeze. Oh, like, he 100%. Can't come back early and get re-injured. Like, it's just, 100%. He can't.
100%. I agree.
Like, we got to protect him from himself, and I mean, if it's one thing I know about these Ochsner doctors, I have faith in them to make the right decision, right?
Right. Sarcasm. Ugh. All right, so let's talk some more celebratory stuff. DeMario Davis is still my new favorite Saints player on the defense.
Absolutely.
Didn't see as much Quan, but that was by design.
Yeah, kind of we talked about that. You know, they didn't seem to get as much pressure on Ryan, but I think that was by – not necessarily by design, but with Jenkins out and then P-Rob going out early – you didn't have CJGJ blitzing. He was in coverage. Quan was in coverage quite a bit, so he wasn't really blitzing. DeMario was pretty much kind of playing that middle of the field looking for the run. So, you know, we didn't get to Matt Ryan as much as we did the previous game, obviously.
And I think that's another thing the disgruntled fans on Facebook and all that need to recognize, that, you know, it's your WWL type fans, right? They're going to complain about the fact that the Falcons almost came back, or that it was too close and we should have destroyed them and
Scott?
All that stuff. But
that's because of the foot off the gas pedal in the second half.
But you know, even them saying, like, oh, they passed and they did all these penalties and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, yeah, you were missing a lot of your weapons on defense. And so you're right. They had to make a completely different type of game plan and just try and just stop what they could stop. And I mean, you got PJ Williams covering Julio Jones.
Julio. Now, I will say, and we kind of talked about it on the 2-point conversion show, you know, Lattimore didn't have the greatest game. I mean, Ridley had 108 yards receiving. I think not having Jackrabbit probably contributed to that, I would say, a bit. But, and you know, you're going to have off games, but he didn't have the greatest game that I've seen. We know he's better than that, but I definitely think he'll bounce back. Peyton said today that he thinks Jenkins will be back for the Philadelphia game.
He has a chance to be back. Still don't expect him back until Kansas City. If he ain't ready, don't bring him back, because you saw it with P-Rob. P-Rob was questionable. We started him. He goes out in the first quarter, and then we're fucked.
So have we heard anything on P-Rob, just out of curiosity?
Just hamstring, but we're not going to find out until Wednesday.
Right.
Damn. You know? But getting back to DeMario real quick, it's crazy that we were able to get him to an extension that is a very under fair market deal. Kind of the same thing with Onyemata. Like, Onyemata signed that extension. When I saw the numbers, I'm like, holy shit, that is in the Saints' favor, because he is a lot better than, you know, if he was just a straight-up free agent. Same thing with DeMario. You know, we got both those guys at under-market deals, which I think is incredibly big going forward. But one guy we didn't talk about the other night, Marcus Williams, actually had a pretty damn good game.
He did.
He's having a good season.
He had that one breakup, or I was kind of saw
hit
on Twitter today.
Yeah.
Yeah, where
the hit on Ridley.
He covered a lot of ground. If you go back and look at the tape, I mean, he was far away from that play and closed really fast. It was very impressive.
Did you guys see, was it Rankins was on a podcast earlier today?
Shimmy.
Yeah, and said something about when we're out there, we're the baddest motherfucker on the field.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was T-Bob's show this morning, yeah.
T-Bob's show, yeah. Love that quote. That attitude, this defense, I mean, like, they're real. They're legit. And finally, people are starting to recognize that.
Well, they actually realize, like, they realize how good they are, and that's good. They need to have a fucking attitude. I mean, you saw CJG is just in everybody's fucking head. Whoever he's covering, right? He's in their fucking head.
Dude. He's my new favorite Saint. You said DeMario Davis is your new favorite. Chauncey is my new favorite Saint.
If the Saints were WWE wrestlers.
I love everything about the guy. You know, I love everything. He's another one. And he came out in February this year, and he's like, hey, man, I'm mentally ill. You know, like, I'm mentally ill, too. You know? I relate to the mentally ill guys. So whenever a player comes out and takes a stand and has the courage to admit that and then back it up by being a complete fucking psychopath on the field, I'm all about it, dude. I'm all about it.
I don't ever want him to not be a Saint. It's like when
be a Saint, right? Because you're going to hate him. Because if he's on another team, fuck that guy.
I don't want to play for anybody else.
I never want to play against him.
I mean, you saw it. The replay of the Hail Mary. Like, Ridley didn't even go for the ball. He just went to hit fucking Johnson. Right. It's like, dude.
Yeah.
What do you say during the game to get
him? He
needs to be mic'd.
What is he saying?
Yeah.
What is he saying?
I want him on the show.
I want to hear what he's saying. Yeah. I want to hear what he's saying.
Mic'd up. Do they still do that? Mic'd up, you know, on the ESPN?
Yeah, they do. They're never going to mic him up, dude. No.
Just put it on YouTube or HBO or something. I don't know.
It'll have to be uncensored.
Yeah, they got sponsors, you know.
Right, like, mic his ass up, sponsor him, sell the ads. Like, I would pay so much money to hear what the hell he says. This every game.
Yeah.
Pay for a pay-per-view feed.
Yeah, like, they hate him.
He is to Russell Gage what Lattimore is to Evans, though. Like, I mean, he is so inside Russell Gage's head, it's hilarious. And the Saints are inside the Falcons' head because apparently Chris Farmer said his cousin went to the game. The Falcons didn't even have the Saints' name on the scoreboard. He said it just said visitors.
Yeah.
And it's a digital scoreboard. They won't even put the word Saints on the scoreboard. How petty and awesomely pathetic is that?
Well, because we probably had as many fans at the game as they did.
Yeah. Well, I read, too, like, the announcer even, when the Saints took the field, he's like, oh, the visiting team's taking the field. Like, he didn't even say...
Didn't even say the Saints, right? Saints. They're treating us like the Washington football team. Right. Can't even give us a name.
Dude, that is... Like, we are, like, totally inside the entire city's heads. The organization, absolutely. They sweat us like nobody's business, and it's awesome.
As we should be.
They want to be us.
It's sad. I mean, it's funny to us, but it's sad on, like, a human level how, like, obsessed they are. They will never get over this. I love it.
They got
Minnesota. It'll be at least 28 years and 3 months before they even begin to think about getting over this.
I just want to say Minnesota Loons up 1-0. Minnesota United FC Loons up 1-0 at half.
Isn't that the Canadian
nickel? In football terms, it's probably like a 14-0 lead.
Yeah, it's a pretty big lead. It's
Isn't a Canadian coin a loony or something? What currency is the loonies?
Have to ask our Canadian friends.
Yeah, all right. Okay, anything left on the game recap before we move on?
Fuck the Falcons.
Anybody on the live feed got anything left to say?
Lee Lewis made his comeback.
Yeah.
A little scary a couple times on those punts. But
please, Deontay Harris, come back.
Well, what is his deal? What's...
I don't know. Hopefully it's not as more serious as it was. But look, it's... At the end of the day, too, like, it's hard, you know, when you play teams twice in 3 weeks, like, it's fucking hard, man. It's so hard to sweep a team in a year, not much less play them two times in 3 weeks. So, yeah, look, I know the game ended more stressful than we wanted.
Yeah. Oh, what was the stat that came out? They were saying, like, in all of the NFL modern history or something, that it's only happened in the last, like, 13 times that teams would play each other within within 3 weeks, and out of those times, the team that won the first time always loses the second time.
Well, I think they lost 76% of the time they lose the second game.
Yeah, they were like 7-19
Guess what? We don't do that shit. We don't do that shit. All right, Sam Rodriguez wants to know, why didn't Taysom throw the ball out of the back of the end zone on the play that he fumbled on?
He shouldn't even try to throw it. He should have just tucked it,
just eat it,
and
man.
Just taken the sack. Like, he shouldn't have, or throw it out the back of the end zone. But once he starts getting hit,
he's got to go down and stop trying to.
That part, yeah. Now, that was the other thing, yeah, because remember the other play that he threw, they called the, is that the play we were talking about? The where he was.
Or by the goal line.
He had the two guy, no, well, I'm the one, I guess it was the third quarter. He had the two guys that kind of like sandwiched in on him, and he tried to throw it over him.
Yeah. But he it didn't.
Yeah.
You got to just eat it.
Yeah. And then Davis Douglas talking about the penalties. There were too many of them, and were they deserved or were they bullshit?
Some of them were deserved, but others were very ticky tack. But apparently, this like you got to know, man. Like what officiating crew is calling this game? If they ain't calling it, then you got to stop being so fucking handsy. Because I'm sure there's some games they can get away with it, some they can't. This one they could.
But
I think they deserve, you know, most of them.
To that end, the penalty disparity, we talk about it on the Instant Reaction Show. We had 10 penalties to their one.
Yeah, wasn't great.
You know, they had one penalty the whole game. I mean.
Right. They played a perfect game like that.
Goodell with the Buffalo Wild Wings thing.
What?
You know, the commercial where they're like, oh, this game needs to go in overtime. Oh, the Buffalo Wild Wings hit the button.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely seemed, because they had that one drive where every time they threw deep.
Yeah.
Right, right.
You know, they had a penalty.
And that also contributed to the closeness of the game. You know, like, again, the Falcons would not have even scored that touchdown. That drive, the touchdown drive, was the one that the refs helped them walk down the field. Yep. So the defense now, they ruined that whole streak. Probably on
purpose.
Thanks,
Goodell.
Probably on purpose. So yeah, but at the same time, that was also the drive where at least two of them were deserved. Like, there was one where Lattimore was like just draped all over, or somebody was draped all over somebody, and Lattimore had his arm around whoever. I mean, it's the maybe a little ticky tacky, but if I was watching any other team objectively, I would have said that was okay to call. Yeah. So we have to look at it objectively.
Jeff, the loonie, formerly the Canadian $1 coin, is a gold-colored coin that was introduced in 1987 and is produced by the Royal Canadian Mint at its facility in Winnipeg.
Boom.
Hey, buddy.
Got it.
Scott with the news, Bubba.
Wow. All right. And with that, let's switch gears. We talked about the Saints. Let's talk about the rest of the NFL in NFL Reach Around. All right, guys. What just happened tonight?
Pittsburgh lost the last undefeated team. They lost to Washington. I couldn't believe that outcome. Could not believe it. Washington sucks. Now, granted, maybe Pittsburgh clearly not the undefeated juggernaut they were meant to be.
Yeah.
But Washington sucks.
Pittsburgh's offense and their success is predicated on Big Ben throwing the ball down the field to his receivers. In order to do that, you need time. When you play the Washington football team, the Washington football team has an outstanding defensive line. Thus, a major strength versus weakness versus, you know, they canceled him out. They got a gift field goal at the end of the first half because the refs needed to change the ball out, so they stopped the clock and then wound it once they were set up on the field. And that ended up being the margin of the game.
What was funny is that Alex Smith actually, after the play was over on third down, ran off the field with the ball and didn't give it back to the ref.
Yeah.
Because he thought, well, we need our, they call
kick
it a K-ball.
Yeah. Kick ball, yeah.
And so he wanted to switch the ball out. If he had given the ball back to the ref, then they would have been able to, the clock wouldn't have stopped. It would have kept on running. They might not have gotten it off. But he just happened to run off the field with the ball.
Yeah.
Smart move.
Smart move.
Got to find any way to keep the NFC East exciting, right?
You know, ended up being the margin of victory. Matt Ryan. That's
wow.
Yeah.
All right. Also, Greg Williams was fired yesterday after coaching Madden style.
So, I mean, I know that's where Greg, like, clearly we've been burned and we've seen that happen to, you know, just totally fucking up on blitzing. That's what he does. But was any of this, you think, like, fuck it. We lose, we get Lawrence. Was there any of that, Or is that just that's what he is? That's what he does. That's it.
I think that's what he is.
Has nothing to do with why would they? That would be a hell of an elaborate tank. Like, all right, let's get it to where we're down. You know, the other team's down by five. They must score. Let's let them hit a Hail Mary. If they were going to tank, they'd do something different. That was just that's just Greg Williams being an asshole.
And I mean, and it cost him his job. I mean, he wouldn't have done that. I'm going to take one for the team
on Good Morning Football this morning, the official football show of the NFL Network. They were advocating for fighting him.
Hosted by your crush.
Yeah, Kay Adams. Yeah.
Yeah. How he says yeah.
Yeah.
Butt stuff.
Yeah. Bro, we could sit around and talk about football and, you know.
All right. So, wait, what did you say, though? Somebody wanted to fight Greg Williams?
They were advocating fighting Greg Williams. They're like, if you're the head coach, you've got to go fight him. And they're like, if you're not going to fight him on the day of the game, like, invite him outside on Monday.
Wow.
That's what they were saying. Yeah.
Funny.
And then he got fired.
I mean, look, that kind of shit fucked us in 2011. We should have another Super Bowl, and we don't.
The Lions came through for us finally.
How about that?
And came back and beat the Bears.
That's good. That's good for two things. One, I really don't want the Bears in the playoffs. Like, I'm tired. It almost, I said this when we played them. Like, every time we're good, the Bears seem to find a way to get
Minnesota.
Involved.
And
Minnesota. Yeah, look, the Bears don't scare me anymore. Like, I'm over the Bears. I'm not worried one lick about the Bears. It's the Vikings.
I just don't want them involved.
I tell you what, I want somebody to beat the fucking Packers. How about that?
It's like the Bears.
We keep getting fucked because nobody can beat the Packers.
And Philadelphia.
It happened in 2011. It happened last year. Nobody can beat the fucking Packers until the playoffs. When we can't even
see
get
the, I don't want to see the Vikings, the 49ers, the Bears, or the Packers.
I'd like to play the Bengals in the playoffs.
Oh, guys.
You know what? I want to know the Bengals in the playoffs.
Yeah, we can't say we don't want to play all of the NFC teams that are going to the playoffs. We have to.
I'll take Seattle. I'll play Seattle.
So let's see. The Packers have beaten. Let's see. The Vikings,
us,
the Lions, us in the beginning of the season. It's a different us than that is now.
Right? Why couldn't we play them now?
The Falcons, so they beat the Vikings when the Vikings were garbage. They beat the Lions, who've always been garbage. They beat us when we were garbage. They beat the Falcons, who are eternally garbage. They beat they lost 38-10 to the Bucks. They beat the Texans, who were garbage. They lost to the Vikings the second time as the Vikings became good. They beat the 49ers, who are garbage. They beat the Jags, who are garbage. They lost to the Colts. They trounced the Bears, garbage. They beat the Eagles, garbage. The fucking Green Bay hasn't played anybody.
How do they? I feel like they get an easy schedule every year.
Because they play in the freaking North, which is.
How does that happen? They get an easy schedule every year.
I mean, the best chance we have is if the Titans.
The Titans, that's it.
That's about it.
That's it. That's the thing. Like, we might have to win
Lions,
14
Panthers,
fucking games.
Titans and Bears left.
Can't count on the Lions. I know we're happy they beat
the
Bears, but you can't count on the Lions.
The Bears nor the Lions are going to make.
But
playoffs.
What that also tells you is right. For one, I want the home field advantage and I want the bye week, but I'm not scared of the Packers in the playoffs.
No, I'm not scared of the Packers. I just want the extra week to get healthy.
Yeah.
And
so I want the extra week. The home field advantage.
It's not a thing anymore, and who knows what's going to be in the stands with LaToya threatening this week. Oh, if our numbers don't come down, I'm going to put on more lockdowns. So we're not.
And are they going to do a bubble for the playoffs?
I don't
probably
think
not.
The NFL is going to do it. No, the NFL is just like whatever. They're just going to.
I would do it.
Tell LaToya we're going to have a swingers convention inside the Superdome during the Saints game, and we're just it's just going to be one big fuck pit. And then she'll let people in. Because
I mean,
that's okay
only 40
them.
Are going to catch COVID, so.
Only, yeah.
Brandon Lee says, happy belated birthday, Scott. Love the show.
I appreciate that. I was about to text him back. Thank you, Brandon Lee. I appreciate it. Brandon went to school with Jason and I.
All right. The other big game, which is kind of crazy, like Cleveland beating Tennessee, I did not see that coming. And I know
that
was close. But, I mean, they were up, what, 38-7 at halftime?
So, yeah, they were outscored 28-3 in the second half.
Wow.
Is Cleveland real now?
Yeah.
Like, do you believe yet?
No. They're two up and down. They do this. And I think we've talked about this on past shows.
They're 9-3.
right? I mean, they've been more up than down this year.
Well, their schedule, who they played?
Pittsburgh. I mean, they played Pittsburgh and the Ravens, and they just beat the Titans. Titans are pretty good, last I checked.
Yeah. I tell you what, they've got a better resume than the Packers do.
They're very up and down.
But let's see. They lost to the Ravens 38-6 in week one. Then they beat the Bengals. They beat Washington football team. They beat the Cowboys. Garbage.
Crap.
They beat the Colts.
Okay. We don't have to go through there. Right. But look, Raiders. But I mean, look, they're playing well right now. I mean, they're going to be frisky. I mean, if they get to play the AFC South winner, if they get to play Tennessee or the Colts in round one, I mean, they could beat them. I mean,
they're not going to the Super Bowl.
I'm not saying they're going to the Super Bowl, but they're playing pretty well right now.
They're worthy of respect.
Yeah, they're worthy of – look, Kansas City is the prohibitive AFC favorite. Even though they didn't look great last night, you have to say Kansas City is the favorite.
Yeah. Speaking of Kansas City, how crazy was that play with Hill?
The touchdown catch?
Yeah.
They
didn't even challenge.
It reminds me of the butt interception. You know?
Yeah. Death the butt.
But, you know, we got that. You know, they reviewed it. They didn't even review. And it's crazy that, like, he thought the ball hit the ground. Yeah. You know, so he couldn't even go tell the coaches, hey, you need to review that play because I caught it. And were they at home? They were at home, weren't they?
Yeah.
I don't know why they wouldn't show it on the scoreboard.
Well, they did, but I guess it was too late.
There was a 40-second clock going, and they punted. It's a cute, funny story. That's like how it's being framed. I think it's an embarrassment for the NFL officiating. I mean, everybody's like, oh, ha, 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 there's, you know, this cute little lark thing that happened. Well, that's embarrassingly bad for the referees.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Pretty bad.
It goes back to all this technology that we have at our disposal, and they refuse to use it.
We use chains to measure first downs.
Yeah, that's
right. There was even the Saints that we didn't get a first down. I mean, we got it on the fourth conversion, though. But, like, remember there was that play where it was this close. And all that is an eyeball. Like, a referee decides where he wants to fucking put the ball. And then two chains are going to walk to midfield. We're going to stick a chain somewhere. And then we're going to just pull it. Yeah.
If they can they could chip a ball.
Right, yeah. How do we not have the chip in the ball at this point yet?
You got the chip in the Dale.
How do you know there's not? I don't know. They could track that ball pretty well. I think there might be a chip in the ball. There's some kind of tracking, I believe.
Well, they're not using it.
Soccer, FIFA chips the ball, don't they? At least for the World Cup, they do. That's how they know when it's a goal.
I don't know. But they're not. If the NFL has done it, they're not using it. Because, like you said, I mean, it's the judgment of the referee, you know, coming in, putting his foot down where he thinks the ball was.
Because if you make it an honest game, you can't control who wins.
They've had several players get hurt recently running into those chains.
I mean, that's...
But we know the NFL doesn't care about player safety, so
they really don't.
No.
It's all a mirage.
Right?
That's right. All right, that's it for the NFL reach around. Let's get into pick-ems.
Giants beat the Seahawks. That was a big one right there.
That was a big one. Yeah, that is pretty big with their backup quarterback, right?
That was in Seattle, too.
Yeah, with their backup quarterback. Was it Colt McCoy?
Colt fucking McCoy.
Yeah, in Seattle.
How do you like
this guy? This guy picked the Giants, by the way.
Martin. Wow, look at you. Got some money off of that, I bet. Why?
Because Seattle doesn't beat anybody by 10 points. And they've been one of these teams that has looked really, really garbage the last couple of weeks. They've been not having strong performances against inferior teams.
When they're winning, they're still losing.
Yeah, if you listen to Taking the Over, you'd...
You're
swimming in that cash, man.
Should have sent you my picks. Yeah. All right, let's get into pick'ems.
It's time to play the game. Put your money on the table. Come on. It's the one game you never, ever win. My game. Come on. My time. Yeah, what you got? You can't win. It's all about the game and how you play it. It's all about the
time. All right, So I don't have our overall records because I've missed the last two shows and I'm completely discombobulated at this point. But I do have what we went last week for those who sent in picks. James did not send in picks, and I think he mentioned it last night. So I don't have him last week. But Jeff, you went 5-0.
What?
Right? Of course I did. You should have sent those picks to Gunn. What the fuck, man?
I would listen to Gunn's show, and that's how I...
Right? Scott and Ash went 4-1. And myself and Ben went 3-2 last week.
3-2.
So that's what I have for us, but I also don't have our overall.
I got
behind. I'm sure.
I'm behind as well. It's just been crazy with work. I haven't had a chance to get everybody's stuff in. So I promise everybody. Maybe tomorrow morning I'll update everything and get sent. I'll tweet the records out.
And you'll find out that you'll be invited to come on the show, but it'll never happen.
That is correct.
All right, so let's get into this slate. For a second, the first run through, I was like, "Ooh, I might have two or three shitty games this week." No, but I found some decent games. More for just the, hopefully to what's up, Vincent Burke? Hopefully to not make it easy to pick. Like, oh yeah, well I'm gonna pick this team. Try to get some interesting matchups. Our first matchup: the Arizona Cardinals scuffing a little bit, coming off a loss last week. Cliff Kingsbury. Maybe he's not an NFL coach. You know, he might be more of the coordinator type. But, I mean, he seems to make coaching blunders every week. They travel to New York to play the first-place Giants. Somehow the New York Giants are in first place in that shit division.
Because it's a shit
nice
division.
Nice win against Seattle. They're at home, and they're getting 2.5 at home.
The Giants?
The Giants are getting 2.5 at home.
Before we make these picks, is Gunn picking?
The rule that Gunn doesn't pick?
I'll put together. How about this? How many games are there?
Five.
There's five? Let me do a teaser and I'll get them all right. Let me tease every line 13 points, but I got to get all five right.
Okay.
All right.
Because if he's picking, I'm picking after him. Because just take whatever he picks.
Okay. Gunn's picking for all of us.
All right, so yeah.
5-1 bit last week, by the way. 5-1.
All right, so Arizona at the Giants. Giants getting 2.5.
Man. So I'm going to be crazy, and I'm going to take the Giants because they're on a 4-game win streak. And maybe, just maybe, they started slow and they're putting things together. They could still finish with a 9-7 record and not completely embarrass the division. And if they are going to go on a 5-game win streak, the Cardinals are not a hard team to make that happen against.
You're not wrong. I'm going to go with Arizona here because in this weird season, I feel like, you know, you're against the team and all of a sudden, oh, they do thing for a few weeks. Oh, maybe I should trust this team. And then they fail you.
That's my fear.
It's kind of the same thing with Arizona. Like, Arizona's lost a few. New York's won a few.
Tennessee.
It clearly says take the points with the Giants. This is the week where somehow Arizona goes and just and beats them.
Yeah.
So
true possibility.
Scott cards.
I am going to go with Jeff and take the Giants. I know they're not completely West Coast, but I don't like West teams traveling East. Weather might be a factor. I don't know. But I'm going to go with Giants.
All right, Gunn.
I like the Giants. We're going to, I don't feel too good about taking them at 2.5 for purposes of this. Will, if I were to tease it and get all these right, I would tease it and I'd move that line. So the Giants were getting 2.5?
Getting 2.5.
So imagine them having to lose by 16.
Right.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Okay.
So you're taking the Giants?
Yeah, plus 13, plus 15.5.
Our next game, Kansas City, coming off a close win last night. Didn't look that great, but managed to beat Denver. They traveled to Miami, play a Dolphins team, coming off a really low-scoring win against Cincinnati. A couple of players got ejected, being a little feisty. You know, Miami's You know, they started 1-3, and now they're sitting here at 8-4. They're clearly trending in the right direction. Kansas City, you know, Kansas City's got a run here where they play Miami, then they play the Saints, and then they have another tough game right after that. I forget who it was, but they got a 3-week stretch where they're playing some tough teams. So maybe they were kind of looking past last night. This game's in Miami. Dolphins are getting 7.5.
Wow. That's a lot of fucking points.
It's a lot.
Almighty, dangerous, big gladiator Dolphins dressed like Spartan warriors getting 7.5 from can't cover. Kansas City can't cover their own ass. They can't cover anything all day on the Dolphins.
How's their running game?
They got Myles Gaskin back.
Last week. 21 for 90 yards this past week against the Bengals.
Yeah, he's a pretty decent runner. So
wait a minute now, Gunnar, you're taking the Dolphins plus,
and you get him at 20.5.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, cool. Yeah, I know, isn't that crazy?
Right,
but you got to get them all.
Wait, right. I'm taking 20.5.
Well, yeah, because everyone gets to tease 13 points either way.
So he's.
I'm doing it. But I have to hit all five.
Yeah, but he's got to hit all five. You're taking Miami with 20.5. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
I'd take it with 7.5 too. But I'm
right.
I think
we got to make it a challenge for him. I think he should.
No, it's a challenge. I have to get all five right.
Right, he's got to get all five.
Okay,
it's not easy. Okay, I'll take Miami at 7.5.
Sometimes it doesn't happen.
Right.
All right, Jason, who are you taking?
Miami.
I'm taking Miami too.
All right, you know what?
That's just too many points.
It's about the points, and they're at home. How's Miami's running game?
They're decent. I thought you asked it. I thought you were going to say, "Man, I've had that Kansas City brisket, and I'm
the burnt ends."
I'll tell you what sucks about Miami is I was under the impression that Fitzmagic was going to be playing quarterback from here on out, and then I look over at the Miami game.
Yeah, it was Tua
yesterday. Yeah. Tua was playing.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
So you're taking Miami?
I'm sticking with Miami, yeah.
All right, our next game, the previously undefeated, who were no longer undefeated, Pittsburgh Steelers. They travel to Buffalo to play a Bills team that is currently up on the 49ers tonight. It's a really strong game, potential playoff matchup. Buffalo is getting 1.5 at home.
This goes back to whether or not you believe the Steelers got to their undefeated record because they played a bunch of garbage teams. And here they are being confronted with a real team.
Yep.
So, I'm gonna believe in Pittsburgh. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Probably wise. Buffalo improvement. But I'm gonna take the Bills here.
I am with Jason. I'm taking the Bills.
Remember, for years we would always buy in on the Bills, and then they would screw us over.
Yep. This year they've been playing well.
Pittsburgh's favored by how much?
A point and a half.
Oh man.
Yep.
Yeah. Give Buffalo 14.5.
All right.
So you're taking Buffalo?
Absolutely. And twice on Sunday.
All right, our next game, the resurgent Minnesota Vikings. Started terribly. They've come back, and now they are, if the season ended today, they'd be the 7th seed. They travel to Tampa, play a Tampa team coming off a bye, but who have struggled lately, losers of a few games here recently. Justin Jefferson, Rookie of the Year candidate, 1,000 yards. Hate to see him in a Minnesota uniform, but it is what it is. This game is in Tampa. Bucks favored by 6.5.
They're getting 6.5?
No. Minnesota's getting 6.5.
Oh, Minnesota's. Oh, fuck. Give me Minnesota all day.
Yeah, I agree. Jefferson's
going to be a problem for the Saints.
He is. I am going to take Tampa here. I think a lot of people are riding that Minnesota momentum, and I get it. But Tampa had a bye week. Brady is refreshed. He got his steroid injection or whatever the hell he's taking.
That's true.
So
I'm going to make
Tampa
win
here.
Yeah, make Tampa win by 20.
All right. Well, no, it flips the other way. So you move it to, what is that? 13. You move it to Tampa, gets 6.5. Is that right?
12, yeah. 11, 10, 90, 10. No, you're taking Tampa
it's plus six and a half to
Minnesota currently, right?
Yeah, so add 13 to that, so that's 19.
Oh,
and a half.
So you're taking Minnesota, okay?
Yeah, I'm taking Minnesota. I said Tampa's gonna have to win by 20.
Gotcha. Yeah. You're taking all the points. Okay, and now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. Of shit car, I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far.
I'm not taking the over, dude.
He's taking a lot of fucking points here. That's smart. I got it right down.
I mean, it's easy to go 5-0 when you're picking 15 and a half.
It's actually not, because that could be the game I missed right there.
Right, the Dallas Cowboys. Coming off a bye, traveled to Cincinnati to play Bengals team that came off a loss to Miami this past week.
They don't have a bye. They play tomorrow.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, whatever. So they play tomorrow.
They play tomorrow.
I know. You're right. I didn't see him playing this week. So I'm like, oh, they have a bye.
Yeah, they play tomorrow against
COVID,
the Ravens.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
COVID. So they travel to Cincinnati. Right. Bengals team with no Burrow. They're getting 3.5 at home to a bad Dallas team.
The Bengals are getting 3.5?
Bengals are getting 3.5 at home.
Ooh.
I'm going to take the Bengals. Cowboys play tomorrow, which means they're going to have a very short week.
Fighting Bengals. Give them all day.
Y'all are both taking the Bengals?
I am. Gun is.
Man.
I mean, Cowboys are going to have to play on 5 days rest.
Yeah.
That's going to be rough.
Yeah, this one's a challenge because I wouldn't want any part of this game in an actual betting scenario. But this will be the game that I miss. But yeah, give add 13 to the Bengals.
Yep. All right. I just don't.
I don't think the Cowboys. Oh man!
No, like the Cowboys.
Bengals have had some fight in them.
Right?
Yeah, the Cowboys. I'm taking Dallas. The Bengals were shit with Joe Burrow. They're not going to be. They're going to be like worse than shit without him.
I would think so as well. I just think this is the 3-point game, so the 3.5 swings it for me to take the Bengals. Just take that 3.
Okay.
But I don't feel good about it. But that's what I got.
All right.
So our games are Arizona at the Giants. Giants getting 2.5 at home. Kansas City at the Dolphins. Dolphins getting 7.5 at home. Pittsburgh at Buffalo. Buffalo getting 1.5 at home. Minnesota at Tampa. Tampa is favored by 6.5. And then our shitty game, Dallas at Cincy. The Bengals are getting 3.5 at home. That's 4 of the 5 home dogs this week.
All righty. Make sure you get your tweets in that they're timestamped before kickoffs on Sunday. I'll record them at some point, and we'll get the records out there.
We shall see.
In the meantime, let's get into Saints Preview. Where the Saints are taking on the Philadelphia Schmeagles. And I am loving the fact that the Eagles are irrelevant this year. It's been a long... That's another one of those teams where no matter if good or bad, like when the Saints get good, somehow the Eagles, we're playing them in the year, we see them in the playoffs or something. Where they're always an obstacle as well. So it's nice to not have to be concerned about the Eagles for once. They're coming in 4-5, if I'm right.
Right? I feel like they're a lot worse than that. I feel like
they are 3-8-1.
Okay, close.
Are the scary, yes, yeah. They've got a tie.
Well, considering we're going into week 14, I don't know how they could be 4.
How do you get 4-5?
I was looking at something else.
Oh, of course you were. So
they had a lot of bye weeks.
The big news is obviously Wentz got benched. So is it Wentz or is it going to be Jalen Hurts? playing quarterback.
Well, did he get benched, or was it just that Philly was no? I mean,
no, he got benched.
Peterson would not commit to anything today, which is smart. I mean, from a strategic standpoint,
that's what he should do.
Oh, I pray to God that Wentz plays this game. I don't 100%. Think. I mean,
Wentz is a statue back there. Like,
he's horrible.
And he has no confidence.
Yeah.
No, he's shell shocked. He's done. He's cooked.
Now, I mean, I think
now,
our
didn't
defense.
Didn't they say he was the future?
Well, he signed a contract like he
man,
was.
He
that's
is,
the thing, man.
Like, they got rid of their Super Bowl MVP for him.
Yeah. I mean,
no,
he has dropped
he
off.
He was hurt. He didn't. It was Big Dick Nick, Jeff.
All right. They got rid of Big Dick Nick for him.
Well, because they signed him to a contract. Yeah.
Right.
They,
that's what I'm saying.
He's got 100
million. Boy, did they. Is Ryan Pace running the Eagles, too?
Well, it's not like Big Dick Nick is great.
The Eagles are screwed. The Eagles have got that contract. They have to keep him for at least two more years. So it's like they're going to have like two more years of persistent quarterback controversy unless he just develops into it. Because no one's going to take on that contract. I don't know. When Hurts came in last week, it provided a spark. They looked better with Hurts in there. I hope that they play Wentz. I don't think that Doug Peterson's that stupid to do it again, because I think it's a different game because he's so bad. It makes such an impact, you know. But our defense, man, you put a rookie back there in his first start or his first extended action, our boys are going to eat again, dude. I mean, our defense is awesome. And they look better than Pittsburgh's defense, which
Hurts is athletic, obviously more athletic than Wentz. He can kind of get out of the pocket a little bit. He's got a big arm, but being the rookie, he's very prone to make mistakes. And I really think that if he did play, even if we didn't get to him with our D line, I think that Dennis Allen will run schemes in the secondary that will just confuse the shit out of him, and we'll get picks.
You know, I also just don't think Hurts is even all that good. Like, he was solid at Alabama, but he had Alabama's team behind him. He goes to Oklahoma, puts up a pretty good year, but again, he's got better talent, and Big Ten defenses suck. Like, he got smoked against LSU in the semifinals last year. Now, granted, we were a fucking juggernaut on offense. It was hard to game plan when you're behind like that, but I just don't even think he's that good of a quarterback.
He made a good touchdown pass on 4th and 17 this week. You know, he's got Taysom like speed. He doesn't have Taysom like size. It's a different ball game. You know, he's one of those guys that he's also kind of slight of figure. So he'll be a monster for the games that he's healthy. But that size of quarterback can't sustain that type of game plan. So they'll be dangerous if Hurts is playing.
Yeah, but, I would much rather Wentz play. Yeah.
He's prone to make mistakes as far as...
I hope so. Yeah, he's a rookie. You know,
I think they can confuse him and with coverages or you know, whatever. And
are we getting Jack
to throw some
back?
Picks.
I still think no. I know Peyton said there's a chance he could play. I think no. I just don't see it.
I think we either need him or P-Rob. One of them needs to come back.
I think we do, but also don't want to rush him.
Hamstring.
Hamstring.
Who has a concussion?
You.
Or a head.
Thinking the Eagles are 4-5.
Who had this show?
Davenport had a concussion.
Yeah, Davenport.
Yeah. Which was, it was odd because so supposedly Davenport got the concussion
so
in
back.
The game, but he didn't start getting symptoms until like Wednesday.
Right.
Which is just,
I mean, hey, Ochsner doctors.
Yeah. He didn't want to go into the concussion protocol on his day off.
and we'll be getting Armstead back because he'll be finished to COVID protocol.
That should help. I mean, James seemed to mention that they have a good defensive line. I know they have Fletcher Cox. I know they have.
Yeah, but he's got to be.
Barnett.
90, isn't Fletcher Cox 90 years old now? Or
91.
I mean, he might be like 83.
He's 45. 4-5.
I mean, I hope Cam Jordan stays good, you know, for the next 30 years as well.
That'd be nice.
But look, you could tell, like, the Eagle season is going down the drain. I mean, they know they can't. They know they're out of it. Hopefully, maybe some of them have given up.
I don't know if they are out of it.
Out of it in their division, but they do have four games where they could see what they have with that quarterback, you know.
That is the scary part of having Hurts in there, is that he's frisky enough, and the team could rally around that a little bit.
But they did on the fourth quarter on Sunday.
Yeah. And that actually worries me more, is that we get a lead like we did against the Falcons, take the foot off the pedal, and then they bring in Hurts, and then all of a sudden it's a close game.
I feel like, was there a soccer goal
scored? Like the looked like Dave's Gunn's winning some loonies.
Right? He's looking a little loony over there.
The loons just scored about a $600 goal for me. They're now up 2-0. Oh, my God. Oh, I hope I don't even have to watch it anymore. I'm gonna push it away. Oh, my goodness.
Just hope they don't put Jalen Hurts in.
Yeah, it was a big deal right there. No, Jalen Hurts.
So, I mean, the Saints are
coming into this game scoring an average of 30 points a game.
Okay. And we're clearly a better team than they are.
And yeah, we're only surrendering 20.5.
Right.
Okay.
And I think I sent y'all that earlier. Hold on. Let me find it. Because Field Yates had tweeted something about the Saints defense that was pretty,
40-some possessions fit. And 25 we held them and didn't score a touchdown or something. It was pretty. It was impressive. But we all know the Saints defense is good.
The Saints defense over the past five games, 57 total drives with 25 inning and a 3-and-out, 2 total touchdowns allowed, 13 turnovers forced. That's amazing. 17 sacks. That's amazing. 4.2 yards per play, a total QBR of 20.2. That is amazing. And, of course, a stretch of 42 drives and 14 quarters without allowing a touchdown. That's all amazing.
It is crazy how good our defense is. I guess the key is who do we get back from injury? We did get Rankins back this week, which is nice. Do we get Davenport back next week? I don't think Jenkins plays. Does P-Rob play? If he doesn't, that's, it's not ideal, but I think the defense is good enough to overcome that. Especially if Davenport plays, I definitely feel a lot better.
Davenport not being present made a difference. Absolutely.
A huge difference.
And we were joking with Romero about that in the WhatsApp chat, but he was dead on. Not having Davenport present made a big difference in that game.
So getting him back will help. Sean Payton's comments about Wentz versus Jalen Hurts is pretty much that we're going to prepare for the overall Eagles offense first, and once we're ready, once you got that down, then you worry about the nuances of which skill set's going to be in there. So I kind of like his approach. He also made a comment that he feels like Carson Wentz is a guy who moves well.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Who said that?
Sean Payton said that.
No, well, he's just being facetious. He's like, he's that, being, he's, that's talking
what
shit.
He's saying yeah, is, that's, what he's saying
that's
is,
being an asshole. He doesn't really feel that
it.
Way.
100%.
Yeah. No, that's exactly Sean Payton right. being Sean Payton. That's a cute thing to say.
Moves well, escapes.
Here's what is scary. Here's what's scary, and I don't want to be an anti-Taysom guy. The two games where Taysom's been called upon to pass the ball have been against the 31st ranked pass defense in the league in the Falcons both times. So I'd be curious to see what he does against a better defense.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big storyline in the game.
I think he would have played better against Denver if he wasn't so scared for him.
Well, right. if
Denver, you can't even look at.
Yeah, you just have to throw it out. Yeah,
Denver has no record of anything. Only the two passing performances he's had were both against the Falcons.
Yeah.
And the Falcons don't have a good pass defense. So it will be curious to see what happens.
Where are the Eagles ranked defensively? Do we know?
15th overall.
Yeah, more middle of the pack. Yeah.
So what I like, though, about his chances are the fact that he did have, even though the Denver game doesn't count, at the same time, he's got 3 full game experiences. They made the comment, the announcers yesterday made the comment that he even says that the game is starting to slow down for him, because in the the previous life, he only came in and there was that pressure, like, I have one chance to come in and do something big. Now he's got the full game, so not every play has to be a touchdown or something. So are we boring you, Scott?
No. And I wonder, if maybe Malcolm Jenkins is, kind of helping with defensive schemes that Philly might run.
I mean, he's got something to say, I guess, right? Now, the last time the Saints played the Eagles, we beat them for like 48-7 in 2018.
So it was very enjoyable.
Yeah, Sean Payton's definitely got Peterson's number, hopefully.
And look, going into the game, look, clearly the Saints are the better team. They're playing better. The Eagles are struggling. I guess it's the key is who. It really all comes down to does Hurts come in and what kind of effect does he have on the rest of the team?
That's right. All right, score prediction.
Well, let me ask you a question, and I don't know if anybody's looked. Is the weather going to be a factor at all?
Haven't looked, and I think it's probably still too early to look.
I mean, you can get a decent forecast.
I could get a good look at a bull's ass by sticking my head up its pork chop. I don't know. How's the quote go?
Oh, come on. I thought you were definitely going to nail that.
I get a T-bone by sticking my head up a bull's ass, but I'd rather take the butcher's word for it.
There you go. A Tommy Boy, that one.
Yep. Definitely Tommy Boy, that one. All right. Philadelphia.
What did you think I was going to say, Jason?
I thought you were going to do it right and not screw it up.
Yeah.
Sunday, cloudy with occasional rain showers, high 56, winds 10 to 20 miles per hour, chance of rain 50%.
Okay, so it might be a little wet.
That's what you said.
Okay, over under on Taysom fumbles, 2.5?
Oh, fuck.
Man. Oh.
I thought we were going to be positive around here.
Hey, I'm very positive. I'm taking the under.
You know, I wouldn't mind a Murray game. I really wouldn't mind a Murray game.
Not on his show.
Right?
A Murray game, yeah.
I would take a Murray game.
Maybe that's why we didn't give Murray all the carries this week, because we knew we needed him next week.
They heard I had a prop bet on Murray to bust 50 yards. They said, let's give him to it 3 times.
You know, just control the clock, give the ball to Murray, Kamara. Kamara could be decent, too, in the rain. A little slippery, weaving in and out of tackles. You know? Could be nice.
All right, so score prediction. I'll go with 31-13. Just because I think our defense is, you know, I think it'll be maybe a little close for the beginning of the first half, and then we'll just wear them down, and the Eagles will lose all their fight, lose all their spirit.
Okay.
I'm gonna go 34-17. I see maybe Hurts coming in the fourth quarter, throwing a touchdown, and getting 17 like they had 10 in most of the game, and we give up a late touchdown with Hurts in the game.
All right, I'm going to go 27-18. I don't think it's going to be one of those. I think it's going to be one of those that we're all sitting there watching until the clock ticks.
So Scott got to be pissed? So Scott's going to be pissed for the instant reaction.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
That's what I predict. Now, it's going to be 24-19 if Hurts starts. If Hurts does not start, it's going to be different.
Okay. So what's it going to be if he doesn't start?
Oh, it'll be 45-0.
There you go. Pitching the shit.
It's going to be 24-19.
All right. Then final thoughts, anybody?
I'm very happy the Saints are 10-2. I'm very happy that we have a great backup quarterback. I'm very happy that we have a potential Coach of the Year candidate, and I do think he should win Coach of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy we clinched a playoff berth. I'm very happy that we swept the Falcons. And I'm very happy that we have the chance to be the first team in NFC South history to possibly sweep the division when we play Carolina in the last game of the year. I'm just a very happy, positive person tonight, Jeffrey.
happy, joy, happy, success. Happy, joy. Happy,
we turned happy. Him around, everybody. And you got to do that with people all over the state right now, because I swear, like, everywhere you look, I posted it on my Facebook page, my personal Facebook page. Like, I mean, dude, like, last week, even going into the game, we were 9-2. Now we're 10-2. And, like, nobody's talking about it. I don't know if it's just there's that fear that's been ingrained for the past 3 years of, I'm not going to let myself get excited because the rug's going to be pulled out from under me. It's like nobody, like, think back to like 1990s or the early 2000s or even 06 or even 09. Being 10-2 we'd be bouncing off the walls right now. We'd be strutting down the streets with putting the car flags up. I mean, we'd be honking the horn. You see fellow Saints fans in the store, even with the Saints mask, and you're like, "Who that stranger? I don't know who you are, but what's up?" Hey, now it's just like, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of people not watching for political reasons, and it's sad.
Well, even the ones who are watching don't seem that. They're not letting themselves get excited about it.
Spoils of success, man, because you know, like, there's one goal, and if you don't get it, it's a failure.
We've been burnt the past 3 years in the playoffs.
We have been.
And it's
but I don't like it.
There's a lot of scar tissue.
Excited, though. I've decided. I don't like not being excited. I'm going to, you know, it took from last burn all the way to this point to get over it. But I'm over it. I'm over the last. I'm all in. I'm pushing the chips in. I'm taking the over for the season.
And I think some of that is like enjoy what we got because
that's the other.
You know, it's and like Gunn was saying, he watched five games yesterday. And it's like I'd much rather be our team than any of those fun
games. Yeah. We look better than all those other teams.
Right. I mean, that's just it. This might be our last year of relevance for a while.
Unless we can get somebody like Stafford, you know. But yeah. Enjoy it for what it is. It's amazing, you know. 10-2. This defense is awesome.
There's another.
We've got one type of team when Drew's in. We've got another type of team in Drew's absence. I mean, both styles win. You know, it's awesome. It's a great time to be a Saints fan, man. I mean, definitely. Drink it in, you know.
And you know, the Instant Reaction show is a different show. I mean, it really is. It's my instant reaction coming straight off the game, what I'm feeling at that moment. I'm not going to hold back. I'm just
drunk
not.
Bobby.
It's raw emotion. That's what
well,
I'm
Jeff,
feeling
yeah, but when you
in
look
that
at it,
moment.
No.
What?
Well, yeah, Jeff, but when you look at it, no.
You know, it's just raw emotion. That's what I'm feeling in the moment. I'm going to give it to you. I'll have this show to be level-headed and you know,
I mean, that was the original premise of the show.
That instant reaction show is going
to
be raw
and irrational, instant reaction. That's why it's called the instant reaction show.
That's it.
It's the gut check show.
Right.
Anybody else? Final thoughts?
Christmas in the Oaks this year is outstanding. It's COVID style Christmas in the Oaks is the best Christmas in the Oaks since before Katrina. You get to drive around in your car and then you get out. You bought the little walk-around package. They got hot chocolate waiting for you. There's no line to get on the train. You ride the train. You get off the train. They've got marshmallows on sticks and a little fire pit for you to go roast marshmallows and ride the slides in Storyville. Get back in your car. I won't spoil anything else, but they do some pretty amazing things. It was 10 times better than Christmas in the Oaks has ever been.
Really?
I think yes.
It's appointment-based.
You do need to next weekend if you're interested in going next weekend. I recommend getting your
not this weekend
your car ticket or whatever because like we Friday night was our only option like Saturday night was already sold out. Mm-hmm. We got ours. Yeah.
All right, Jason. Anything?
Feels great to sweep the Falcons. Feel good.
Fuck the Falcons.
Yeah. Always, forever and ever, fuck the Falcons.
There you go. That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United network of podcasts, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show that we were just talking about, the Dome Patrol podcast, the BS and Beer Saints podcast, the Pelican Plunge podcast, Premier League podcast, and the brand new Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. Or maybe it's not so brand new anymore, but there's Billy Gunn. He's sitting right there. Follow the Dome Patrol podcast on Twitter at Dome Patrol US and Dome Patrol UK. Follow BS and Beer Saints podcast at BS and Beer Media. Follow Taking the Over at Taking the Over. And follow us on Facebook for live streams like the one you're watching right now. Just search for Dome Patrol podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, there is Dome Patrol podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, Domes.
Bye-bye, angry donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Later on, Jet Sweep Doggies.